Bible Beyond the Basics is brought to you by Dikai Oma Ministries, where the love of Christ motivates.
Warm Christian greetings to everyone. Heaven's blessings, peace, and goodwill be upon you. This is Dr. Clinton Baldwin with Bible Beyond the Basics. Before I begin, just two quick announcements. On November 5 and 6 at 5:30 p.m., I will be doing a seminar on the Sabbath at the Institute of Chartered Accountants on 8 Ruthven Road in Kingston. There will be Q&A, firm scholarship with practical applications, so you don't want to miss this. Again, November 5 and 6, Institute of Chartered Accountants, 8 Ruthven Road in Kingston. And two, let's also remember to support the national effort not to mine the Coquipic country. Remember, after we would have destroyed it completely, the lot of the ordinary Jamaicans would not have changed one bit. So thank you so very much to our political leaders for doing the right thing. Let's save the Coquipic country for generations to come. Now for tonight's study, we have been enjoying a stimulating series on the Sabbath, and I wish to continue in this series. And by the way, Sabbath theology has to do with social, economical, and financial issues. So when we promote the Coquipic country, we're right on. In our last presentation, we discussed the fact that, one, the Ten Commandments and all laws of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus. Two, Jesus' action of fulfilling these laws caused a modification and reformulation in the individual laws of the Ten Commandments. Three, the modified or reformulated laws are not one and the same as the laws as were expressed in the Ten Commandments. Four, we are no longer obligated to obey God's laws as they emerge from the Ten Commandments, but as they emerge from God's new revelation in Jesus. Five, the Ten Commandments is no longer the constitutional basis for obedience, but Jesus is the constitutional basis for obedience. Six, there are three versions of the Ten Commandments. They are found in Exodus 21 to 17, Deuteronomy 5, 6 through to 21, and a lesser-known version in Exodus 34, 10 to 26. 9. All these versions were obligatory upon Israel back then. Therefore, if we today choose to enforce any version, we cannot be selective in the version we enforce. We have to enforce all or none at all. And I think this is number 9. We discovered that along with commanding the Sabbath, the version in Exodus 34 also commanded, one, the observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, verse 18 and 19 of Exodus 34, the observance of the Feast of Weeks, verse 22, the offering of sacrifices, verse 25, not to boil a kidney's mother's milk, verse 26, among many other laws. Therefore, if we wish to order our lives by the Ten Commandments, we are under obligation to offer sacrifices, observe the Feast of Weeks and Tabernacles, Passover, abstain from eating meat with the blood in it, and a number of other laws which we call ceremonial and render no longer binding. However, moving on to the next point, we should not have a problem, for as we have seen, or we've been learning, the Ten Commandments no longer has constitutional authority to enforce any law upon us. If we therefore refuse to kill, lie, steal, commit adultery, or worship God, then we do not behave accordingly because these rules are stipulated in the Ten Commandments, but because of God's final and definitive revelation in the person of the historic Jesus. He's God's new law. This is very, very important, a very important point, and I think I will need to reinforce a little. Christians, Sabbatarians, non-Christians, everyone, please, hear me well. From an exegetical perspective, or from, let's say, a strictly biblical perspective, You cannot say that we should not kill, lie, steal, commit adultery, keep Sabbath, worship God, etc., because such rules are written in the Ten Commandments. No, to do such is to ignore the biblical context. It is to be using the biblical material to write your own Bible, so to speak, and then turn around and claim that the Bible is teaching X or Y. You obey laws as these laws flow out of the historic and resurrected Jesus. Full stop. So please, for heaven's sake, people, let's stop talking of laws as being obligatory because they are written in the Ten Commandments. That is to ignore the biblical context of how God's laws operate. And, you know, regarding how God communicates his law to humanity. The Ten Commandments is the hub of the Sinaitic or Old Covenant, a covenant that the New Testament teaches has grown old, is obsolete, was the ministration of death, hence is no longer the standard of obedience. Please see again Hebrews 8 verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For the 100th time, please cut the talk about Ten Commandments as God's moral eternal law for all times and places. It is wrong. And please stop defending the obligatory nature of the Ten Commandments with the, you know, weak argument that, well, if the Ten Commandments is abolished, then we are free to kill, lie, steal, commit adultery. No. I have answered this in previous presentation, but the short answer is you do not need the Ten Commandments to instruct you on these things. God's revelation in Jesus does a far greater and better job where Christian ethic is concerned. So again, the Ten Commandments talk is the context-bound approach to Scripture. And come on, you know, we can do without it. Let's grow up in the Word. Moving on, it is very important to understand that we are required to keep God's laws as they are revealed in Jesus and not as they are revealed in the Ten Commandments, because the revelations are not equal. They are not one and the same. Mount Sinai does not equal Mount Calvary. God's revelation through Moses, that is Ten Commandments, does not equate or equal God's revelation through Jesus. So if you go by Ten Commandments, you are going to miss the boat of true obedience. Because you cannot, or rather, you can be in line with the Ten Commandments and be less than loving, be less than Christ-like. Notice, for example, that most of the Ten Commandments tell you what you must not do, but they do not tell you what you must do, what you ought to do. I repeat, the Ten Commandments, for the most part, tell you what you must not do. They do not instruct you what you ought to do. Thou shalt not be a false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet, etc. Now, let's say you live next door to me, and I never tell a lie on you. I never hurt you physically. I never commit adultery with your spouse. I never covet any of your property. Does that mean that I'm being loving towards you? It goes without saying I'm not being loving. So I can be in line with the Ten Commandments and not be loving. You see, you are not doing good simply by not doing bad. So if you instruct me what I ought not to do, but do not instruct me as to what I ought to do, you're not giving me a complete effective guide. Additionally, we discovered that, like the Israelites, you could kill someone and still be in line with the commandment, thou shalt not kill, as this commandment did not prohibit the Israelite, and you for that matter, for killing a wide range of individuals. You can be in strict obedience with thou shalt not commit adultery and keep many wives, as you can afford. Keep the Sabbath and keep your slaves. So the Ten Commandments was meant to be a stopgap measure. It's simply 10 basic rules for a group of slaves coming out of Egyptian bondage. And, you know, we discovered and we said so much about this. So let me move on. But thank God, the commandments, God's laws, has been reformulated and recalibrated in Jesus. Now, the question is, has the Sabbath commandment been modified, expanded, and reformulated in Jesus? Answer, yes, on a number of counts. The Sabbath, as it stems from Jesus, is different from the Sabbath as it comes from the Ten Commandments, and hence is no longer required as it emanates from Exodus 20, but as it is derived from Jesus. In fact, as mentioned, to keep the Sabbath in its Exodus 20 format is to break it, and not only to break it, but to deny the full potency of the cross of Jesus. Let's quickly rehearse, and we'll add some if time allows. Number one, the Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20, we discovered, allowed the Israelites to keep slaves. It reads, "You and your male slave, Ebed, Hebrew, or your female slave should not do any work on the Sabbath." However, the recalibrated Sabbath in Christ does not allow slavery any at all. On Sabbath in Luke 4:16, Jesus declared that his purpose of his mission was to liberate all captives, slaves included. Jesus also commands us to, quote, "love one another as I love you," John 13:34. And what kind of love is this? "Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend," John 13:34 and 35. You cannot enslave the person you love as yourself, or whom you love as Jesus loves him or her. So on the issue of allowing slavery, the Sabbath is definitely modified and reformulated. And another point, the Sabbath was a sign or seal of the Sinaitic covenant, Exodus 31, 13 through to 18. Its position and function in the Ten Commandments corresponded to the position of the seal in the ancient Sinaitic covenant. When the ancient made a covenant, one particular law of the said covenant would serve as the representative law of the entire covenant. That particular law would allow for special times for the rehearsal of the entire covenant. It was dubbed the seal or the sign of the covenant. It is well established that the Old Testament presents the Sabbath as a seal or sign of the Ten Commandments and of the entire Sinaitic covenant. Again, see Exodus 31, 12 through to 18, Ezekiel 20, 12, and of course, Exodus 20, 8 to 11. In the New Testament, Jesus and his Spirit is absolutely and categorically the only sign or seal of the new covenantal arrangement under which God's laws are now issued. That is the new covenant of which he, Jesus, is the embodiment. John 6:27 reads, "In him, Jesus, has God the Father set his seal of approval." Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 in chapter 4, verse 30 teach that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the second coming of Jesus. There is absolutely no room for any other seal. So whereas in the Old Testament, the Sabbath served as a seal of the Old Covenant or the old legal arrangement with humanity, Jesus is now the seal of the new covenant or the new legal arrangement with humanity. So on the grounds of being the seal of God's law, the Sabbath is again transformed and modified. No longer is a 24-hour period, that is the seventh day, mandatory as a seal for God's children, but a person, Jesus, is now the mandatory seal or guarantee or authentication that an individual belongs to God. You see, a day cannot truly indicate that you belong to God. The day did so symbolically for Israel in the Old Testament before Jesus came. But now that Jesus, the reality is here, he and the Spirit is the only grounds and means to indicate that one belongs to God. Romans 8, verse 9 through to 14, or rather 9 and 14, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God." Indeed, on the count of being God's seal, the Sabbath is modified and reformulated. Jesus and his Spirit now carries that function that the day used to carry in the Old Testament. It's like Jesus now fulfilling and replacing the lamb as a means of atonement. Once you accept Jesus as your sacrifice, you no longer need an animal sacrifice. If you accept Jesus as your seal, you no longer need a day, that is a Sabbath, as your seal. In fact, just as how it depreciates the full meaning of the cross to make an animal sacrifice mandatory post-Calvary, so likewise it depreciates the full meaning of Jesus as your seal when you make a day mandatory as your seal. You cannot have Jesus and the 24-hour period being mandatory for the same function. You can't have Jesus as your seal and at the same time be sinning against God because you do not observe a day as your seal. You cannot have Jesus as the reality of your sealed condition and be sinning against God because you fail to observe a symbol of your sealed condition, that is a day. Once you have the reality of anything, the symbol of the same reality becomes optional. And to insist on the symbol while the reality is present is to depreciate the reality. It is to rid the reality of its full potency. You do not insist that someone, you know, appreciates your personhood by pointing to your shadow while you're standing right there in front of the person. The Sabbath is a symbol or shadow of God's seal. Jesus is the reality. And that's the reason why I said earlier that to observe the Sabbath in its Exodus 20 format is to deny the full potency of the cross of Jesus and therefore to be a Sabbath breaker. For in its reformulated expression, Sabbath keeping now means Jesus keeping, not day keeping. Once more, the Old Testament function of the Sabbath as a seal no longer stands. Again, if you keep the Sabbath as it radiates from Exodus 20, you observe a day and not a person as the indication of your sealed status. And that is a reason why many Sabbatarians continue to expose some such embarrassing and erroneous doctrines like, you know, the SDA Church constitutes God's remnant church, Sunday worship will become the mark of the beast, all genuine Christians will someday become Seventh-day Adventists or some other Sabbatarian church. And some even claim that only Seventh-day Adventists, sorry to say, will be saved. In fact, many continue to teach that you must keep at least one Sabbath before you go to heaven. So Ellen White is marshaled to prove that the saints on their way to heaven will keep a Sabbath in outer space. My God, what embarrassment for Bible doctrines. But these are the logical and inevitable conclusions that you will make when you keep the Sabbath as it radiates from Exodus 20, in which a day and not a person is the seal of God. You see, you cannot be saved without the seal or stamp of God. Therefore, if the Sabbath is the seal of God, only Sabbath keepers can be saved. Observing Sabbath as it stems from Jesus indicates that Jesus and His Spirit is the only seal of God's children today, and therefore all who are in Christ are 100% children of God. Hence, the only remnant there can be are Christians who are in Christ. And note, if the Sabbath has lost its status as God's seal, and indeed it has, then its observance as a specific day is neither here nor there. What is now important is its observance as a person, the resting in Christ 24/7. I will have to come back to this teaching re-remnant seal Sabbath because, you know, sad to say, many people do not understand the rest in a person. They're equating the Old Testament mode of existence with the New Testament mode of existence in Christ. In the meanwhile, SDA Baptist scholars, you know what I am saying is gospel truth. Help me out, please, and inform your members until I get back. I'll take a short break. Please, stay with me.
Washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Speak.
continuing on other ways in which the Sabbath has been reformulated in Jesus, the Sabbath in Exodus 20 demands of the Israelite to rest on a day. The Sabbath in Jesus demands that we rest in a person. On Sabbath, Jesus declared, "Come unto me, and I will give you a rest." Matthew 11:28. Hebrews 4, verse 3, "We who believe have entered into his rest." In Jesus, it is not 1/7 of your time, which is holy, but 7/7 of your time, which is 100% holy. We are commissioned to abide in him as a branch in the vine. John 15, verse 5. Galatians 2:27, "Being baptized in Jesus, you wear him the way you wear clothes every day." That's a paraphrase of Galatians 2:27. You can't be abiding in Jesus, being clothed with Jesus, and one day in Jesus is holier than 6 days in Jesus. Come on. If such is the case, then it means that you don't take seriously, or you do not understand the power of the cross. Therefore, if all 7 days are 100% holy, then it matters not which day you take for congregational worship, as all days are appropriate for such. And register this now. It matters not which day you take off from your regular sacred work, because all days are appropriate for a day off. Did I just say it matters not which day you take off from your regular sacred work? Yes, that's exactly what I said. Your regular sacred work. Catch this now. In Christ, you are not permitted to do any work other than sacred work. In fact, in Christ, you do not work. You are being worked by the Spirit, and the Spirit only performs sacred activities. So when the person outside of Jesus cuts the yard, that's regular yard cutting. When the Christian cuts the yard, that's a sacred activity. When the person outside of Christ balances the books in the office, that's regular bookkeeping. When the person in Jesus balances the book, that's sacred bookkeeping. You ask, "Baldwin, where did you get this from?" Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified and remain crucified in Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. The Christian activities in Christ are sacred activities because they are Spirit-empowered activities, and the Spirit can only enact sacred activities. So whereas all your days are 100% holy and all your activities are 100% sacred, then it matters not which day you choose to pause from your sacred activities for physical rest or for congregational worship. That was never the case in the Old Testament, when one day of the week was more holy than the other days of the week. However, the Sabbath in Jesus has been reformulated. And remember, the recalibrated expression of God's law does not bear a one-to-one correspondence with the old expression of the said law. I will have to get back to all of this, you know, as there is so much can be said here. But just start thinking more about the rest in Jesus, and the Spirit will surprise you with so many new vistas. Another way in which the Old Testament Sabbath has been reformulated is the Sabbath from Exodus 20 commands us to remember a day. Existence in Jesus commands us to remember a person. "Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22:19. "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Yet another point which the Sabbath has been reformulated. With the Sabbath from Exodus 20, a day points vertically to God and horizontally to mankind. However, with the Sabbath radiating from Jesus, a person, Jesus Christ himself, points vertically to God and horizontally to mankind. You see, he points vertically because he's God, and he points horizontally because he's man. In Jesus, God came to be with mankind, and in Jesus, mankind has gone to be with God forever, an inseparable union. Please do not equate the day that points to God and God in Jesus that points to God. Moving on, in Exodus 20, the Sabbath, that is a day, signified Israel's sanctification, liberation, redemption, justification, and salvation. In the New Testament, Jesus is absolutely the only reality that sanctifies us and continues to signify our liberation, our sanctification, our redemption, our justification, our salvation in total. Not only is he the only entity that represents these realities for us, but the New Testament teaches that it is also a sin to present any other Old Testament symbol as a representation of our liberation and justification and sanctification. Galatians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Galatians 4, 9 and 10. See also chapter 5 and verse 4. So how is the Sabbath, like the rest of the Ten Commandments, modified in Jesus? It is modified in the sense that whereas in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a day, in the New Testament, the Sabbath is a person. Jesus Christ himself. It is modified in that whereas in the Old Testament, Israel rested on a day, in the New Testament, the Christian rests in a person. It is modified in the sense that whereas in the Old Testament, the seal of God was a day, in God's new revelation, in Jesus, God's seal is now a person, Jesus Christ himself. It is modified in that whereas in the Old Testament, Sabbath keeping allowed for slavery, in Jesus, no such practice obtains. Indeed, the Sabbath of Exodus 20 is modified in that whereas in Exodus 20, a day points backwards to creation, in the New Testament, Jesus is the creator himself. Obviously, he points to creation and also forward to the ultimate recreation. John 1, 1-3, 1 John 5, 10-11, Hebrews 9, 12, and 15. In short, the Sabbath is no longer a day, it is now a person, Jesus Christ himself. So like the other commands of the Decalogue that gain their reformulated expression once they are fulfilled in Jesus, so likewise the Sabbath gains a reformulated, a recalibrated expression having been fulfilled in Jesus. No longer is a Christian obligatory Sabbath a 24-hour period, it is now a person. And as I said, as we shall see in upcoming presentations, to keep the day as a mandatory Sabbath is to deny Jesus as our Sabbath. You can't have both serving the same function at the same time. To share Jesus in this manner is to take away from him. Before Jesus, Sabbath was a day. In Jesus, Sabbath becomes a person. Sabbatarians have no problem, you know, in saying that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Rock of Ages, the Bread of Life, the Water of Life. So why do they have a problem in saying that he's the rest of God or God's Sabbath? Yes, he also fulfills time. He declared himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 1 verse 8. Yes, you rest in him. And to rest in Jesus is no theoretical or philosophical proposition. It is concrete reality that far supersedes resting on a day. Sadly, so many Sabbatarians are unable to see the simple truth. I will be coming back to it. In the final minute, I invite you to embrace Jesus as your Sabbath. To let go of a day, be it Saturday or Sunday, and enjoy God's rest in Jesus 24/7. It will fill you with a peace you never dream of. It will rid you of guilt. It will encourage you with a solid assurance of salvation. It will empower you to keep God's law at a deeper level. Please do not allow the resting on a day, the good thing, to become the enemy of the best thing, that is, resting in a person, Jesus Christ himself. I leave you with your Sabbath, Jesus. Please rest in him. Abide in him. And remember, November 5 and 6, 8 Ruthven Road, please join me 5:30 p.m. for a beautiful presentation on the Sabbath. God bless you real good. Take care of yourself. Walk good. Rest in Jesus. See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bible Beyond the Basics was brought to you by Dikai Oma Ministries, where the love of Christ motivates.